This is a unusual sermon that for me, because I'm preaching on a very small portion of Scripture, but it encompasses again the whole of the gospel that we've been learning from the book of Romans. So you have to we'll hear and remind you again of that. I titled it, "What's the E for?" Our church, our denomination is called the EPC. It is the Evangelical Presbyterian Church. And you say, before you start running to the door screaming, "I'm not a Presbyterian," just remember what we just did. We worship the Lord, we are in the Word, But the evangelical part, I am probably more strongly attached to the idea of being evangelical than I am about being Presbyterian. Presbyterian, it has to do with how you run the church and how you see the offices of the church. Evangelical to me is something that is, I believe, absolutely at the core of being Christian. An evangelical is someone, in my mind, an evangelical is someone who believes that the word needs to go out there, right? Evangelical Presbyterian. So I when I became a Christian and when I received a call to preach, which was about 2 weeks after I became a Christian, I was highly evangelical. I was not even close to anything Presbyterian. I was highly evangelical. And I want to talk to you about the idea of what it means to be an evangelical church, to be a church that basically sets its heart on this idea, I believe, from Scripture, and that's why we're dealing with Romans 10 and just a few verses in Romans 10. But I'll remind you of everything else that we've talked about, how that the gospel, first of all, begins with sin and sin leading us to, evil works, and those evil works bring condemnation, and condemnation is death and separation from God. And that people who think that they're going to find a way by themselves or find some other way to get rid of sin, to deal with sin, to overcome sin, apart from the gospel, they're fooling themselves. And there are billions of them in the world that are trying to find another way to deal with the human issues of sin and depravity that exist in all cultures and all nations around the world. But Paul preaches a gospel that is a gospel that is righteousness by faith. And if you don't have an infusion of righteousness, then you can never deal with sin. Because all you end up, we said this last week, all you end up with is sinners trying to work on sin, okay? And if you don't have righteousness, it just doesn't work. You don't have the tools. You don't even understand what righteousness is unless you have an infusion of righteousness. And this was our message last week was righteousness comes when we call upon the name of the Lord. Righteousness comes when we confess in the power of Jesus Christ. And that is righteousness by faith. It doesn't come because I decide I'm going to do better. And when I do better, then I become righteous. That will never work because I can't even approach the idea of righteousness. Righteousness is a power from outside of ourselves. And it comes from Jesus Christ to all who believe. In chapter 3, it says that Jesus was an atoning sacrifice and that he gives us righteousness to everyone who believes. And so it is a power of righteousness outside of ourselves that is infused into us through faith in Jesus Christ. That is at the heart of the gospel. Now in chapter 10, Paul, and actually 9 and 10 and 11, Paul is talking about his lament and his concern over those who aren't getting it, over those who are not receiving the gospel, and especially in his mind was his Jewish family. His Jewish family were he would go and talk to them. He would share the gospel with them, and they would chase him out of town. They would try to kill him at times because they did not like the gospel. But he understood that without the gospel, there was no hope. And so here, he asked the question, you know, if the gospel becomes effective in us when we believe in Jesus, when we confess Jesus, when we call on Jesus, how do we get there? How does one get to that point? What, you know, it's kind of interesting. We'll look at the text and you'll see what I'm talking about. How then can they call on one whom they have not believed in? And how can they believe in one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? Now, you look, I've highlighted the word, you know, and in my mind, we're going to go backwards. It's about preaching, hearing, believing, and calling. And it's kind of interesting, if you go back to chapter 8 in Romans, he talked about God's part of salvation, right? Because all the words that he used there, God was the one doing the work. He predestined, he justified, he glorified, right? He's the one that did the work. Here, this is our part of the gospel. When it's we are the ones who preach, we are the ones who hear, we are the ones who believe, we are the ones who call upon the name of the Lord, right? So in chapter 10, he kind of gives us, you know, chapter 8, it's theological, it's God's province. The gospel where he predestines and he foreordains and he, you know, does the justifying and he does the sanctifying, he does the glorifying, right? Here, it is about our experience with the gospel. And it comes down to these four aspects of the gospel. One is preaching. The message that is preached must be about Jesus. The idea that you know, churches are formed on a cult of personality, it really isn't important if you know my name or don't know my name. It really isn't important whether you know this is a Presbyterian church or not a Presbyterian church. The only thing that's really important for us to know is that Jesus Christ is a Savior that God sent. And Jesus Christ died for our sins, rose for our righteousness, right? And through faith in Jesus, we can receive salvation. What must be preached is Jesus. What must be made known is Jesus. And so there's a message that needs to be preached. There's a message that needs to go out into all the world. It's Jesus who possesses the power to save. When Paul was talking to Timothy about the gospel and the problem of sharing the gospel in Ephesus, he constantly tells them, he said, you know, study the word, you know, preach the word. The word of God is able to, you know, make you ready for every good work. What needs to be preached is the word of God. You notice when you come in here, I don't tell you a bunch of stories about puppies and you know, things like that. I don't try to give you a nice goosey feeling about a story. You know, I try to tell you what the Word of God says. Because, you know, while stories about puppies might be cute and make you feel all warm and fuzzy, they won't save your life. And they won't change your heart. They won't transform the way the Word of God does. So again, what's preached is Jesus. What's preached is the Word of God. Paul said in Corinthians that the Word of God should be preached in power. He says he was going to come and see. You know, he had other guys preach. He said, well, I'm going to come and I'm going to see. And I'm going to see, not, you know, it's not just words, but it's power. There's power in the gospel of Jesus Christ. If churches are trying to find another way to reach people through entertainment, through you know, different kinds of music, through you know, different kinds of lectures and those kinds of things, there's no power in that to transform. There's no power to make a difference. The Word of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ possesses a power. And Paul, you know, declared that at other places. It's a matter of right doctrine. I was talking about this, you know, across the street in our Sunday school class. How fragile faith is. We think that faith is something that, you know, once a person has, they're strong and they can just stand and, you know. But I have seen so many people get confused. So many people get disillusioned. So many people crumble. And it has to do because they weren't putting the right stuff in their heart. They weren't putting the right stuff in their mind. They didn't have what it took to stand the test. And what did Jesus say? He said, a man who hears my words and digs deep down, right? He lives by them. He's like that house built upon a stone foundation. When the winds and storms come against it, it won't fall down. A man that hears the word and doesn't do anything about it, he's like the man that puts his house on the sand, and as soon as trouble comes, it crumbles down. The church needs to be a place where, again, the word is rightly divided. Where too many teachers and too many pastors spend too much time reading other people's books instead of studying the scriptures, instead of knowing the truth of the gospel and coming out and saying, here is what God sent us to talk about. Here's what God told us to be about, right? And then it's also about life. You know, preaching is preaching, but living it in front of people, living, making decisions about how you're going to live your life as a Christian. You know, before I was a preacher, I became a Christian, and I was living a life that was different than the life I used to live. And I was out with my sister one day, and we're driving in a car, and she just knew, I don't do the things I used to do. She knew that God had changed my life because there was a difference. And so, after a month of seeing this, she said, can I go to church with you? Because she wanted something that I had. She wanted a taste of that power, a taste of that gospel that had transformed my life. She wanted it too, right? Do we have that, going on in the church? One of David Wells, he's a theologian, good man. He talks about the church in America. He says, one of the biggest problems in the church in America right now is we don't offer anything different. In other words, whatever you get in the church, you can get somewhere else. You can get in 12-step groups, or you can get, all kinds of activities and stuff in secular organizations. The thing that makes us different, the thing that makes us the church, is that we possess the Word of God. We possess the message of salvation. Nobody else has that. You know, there are other organizations that can clean up the city. There are other organizations that can feed the hungry. There are other organizations that can paint houses. There are other organizations that can give out money. There's a lot of things that other organizations can do. But the one thing they can't do is proclaim life in Jesus Christ. They can't proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's our territory. That's who we're supposed to be. And I'm concerned, again, that so much of the church today is not doing that. They're trying to embrace more of the secular world and be attractive, putting on lots of makeup, so to speak, rather than being real with the gospel and letting people hear the truth. Well, the first part of it is, the word of God, it must be right. It must be rightly divided. It must be powerful. It must have an effect in our lives so that others can see it. Then there's the whole thing about preaching. I mean, Jesus, he sent his 12 out. He didn't say, now I want you to go from town to town. He sent them out to preach. He said, I want you to go out and I want you to preach to the kingdom. And at the end of Luke gives, the last words to Jesus tells him. He says, I want you to preach this word. I want you to preach the message. Preach the gospel, right? Jesus says the end of the age can't come until this gospel has been preached all over the world in Matthew 24. It's got to go to all nations. Paul characterized his ministry as that of preaching the kingdom. It is a central part of, again, being Christian. Being the church is going out and proclaiming the message, telling people that there is a Savior, there is a way. And folks, that has to do whether people hear it or don't want to hear it, whether they like us or don't like us, whether it means that, well, because you're doing that, people aren't going to come. It's all right. We were told to gather people together. We were told to preach the gospel. We were told to tell people about what Jesus has done. We weren't told to build churches. We were told to preach the gospel. The churches will come that need to come out of that. So, Romans 17, later on in our text, 10:17, says, you know, faith comes by what is from what is heard, and what is heard by the preaching of Jesus Christ. Faith comes by. So if we have a gospel that is a gospel of righteousness by faith, Paul asks, how are they going to get it? It must be preached. You must preach that gospel. There is no salvation available unless somebody's out there preaching, right? The next thing is that you know, somebody's got to hear. And so this message is supposed to go out to all the world. Who gets to hear the gospel? Who's supposed to hear it? Does your neighbor know who Jesus is? Does your neighbor know the power of the Word of God? Do the people that you have at work, the people at school, do they know who Jesus is? Do they know the power of salvation that's available? Do they know the name of the one name they must call upon in order to be saved, right? The message has to go out to all the world. Not everybody who hears gets saved. We know that. In our time here, we have shared the gospel with well over 10,000 different people. Look around you. Does it look like we got 10,000 people here? You know? But we have shared the gospel with 10,000 people, and some of them heard. Some of them could receive it. Some have believed, which is our next thing. But the gospel must go out. Many are called. You know that statement of Jesus? Many are called and few are chosen. Calling is our responsibility. Calling is our responsibility. We're supposed to go out and make sure the world knows Jesus Christ came, Jesus Christ died, Jesus Christ rose again, and there is salvation in Jesus Christ. That's our responsibility, is to go tell everybody that message. You don't have to be a slave to sin. You don't have to let sin rule your life. You don't have to be a loser out there hanging out on the porches drinking a 40 every day. You don't have to live like that. You don't have to be a greedy, you know, monster out in American culture. You don't have to be like that. You can be free from the power of sin. You can be free from that because Jesus came to break the power of sin, right? That's the good news. That's the message, and everybody should hear that message. Everybody should know it. That's what the E is for. The E is for evangelism, evangelical. We're supposed to go out and tell the world. We're supposed to tell everybody. Jesus Christ is the way. Jesus Christ is the truth. He's the only way to life, right? And then there are those who believe. They believe in Jesus, right? Those are the ones, hopefully everyone in this room is someone who, you know, we've all believed. We all heard the good word of God. This is not by our choice. I always love this idea, you know, that if you hear the word of God, it says many are called, few are chosen. Our job is to do the calling. God's the one that does the choosing. We're the ones that we go out, we tell everybody. Sometimes guys ask, you know, for those of us who understand election, and say, yeah, well, if there's election, why do you even go preach? Because guess what God told us to do? And that's how election works. We sow the seed. We go out and we tell everybody, God's the one that makes it work. God's the one that makes that seed effective in their lives. It's not our responsibility. We're supposed to throw out the good seed. We're supposed to throw out the good word of God, the good message. That word gets into people's lives and it changes lives of some. And some go on just the same as they always were. Not up to us. That's the four soils that Jesus talked about. Jesus said, you know, you go out and you scatter seed on the ground, and there are four kinds of soil. One was a hard path. He said, you know, Satan, I'm going to just cut to the, you know, Satan comes in and he steals it right away. The word doesn't even get a chance to sink in, some folks. The word of God just bounces off and they just go on. They're just as bad as they ever were. Not a thing about them changes. Nothing happens in their heart. Nothing at all. And they just go on. Why? Because Satan steals it, he said. Some of it goes around the rocky soil, gets in there, right? And it doesn't have any depth. Doesn't have any depth. And the first sign of trouble, first sign of something not going right, say, I don't want any more of that. You know, they give up. They quit, right? That's the shallow stuff. Then there's the weedy soil. The weedy soil is that. People love the things of the world. The world gets a hold of them. And again, they receive it. It kind of gets into them. But the world chokes out any kind of fruit that might have come out of that word, right? Then there's the good soil. Those are the ones who really believe. Those are the ones who confess that Jesus Christ is Kurios. Jesus Christ is Yahweh. Jesus Christ has the power to bring about transformation. Jesus Christ has power to raise us from the dead. Jesus Christ has power to give us an entrance into the kingdom of heaven. Those who believe, he says, that seed gets in, it sinks really deep into their hearts, and it produces a good crop. It transforms things. It makes a difference in those who believe, right? I tell you that we don't believe by our own volition, but God does. He tells you. People talk about we call on his name, but he called us first. He called us first. If you believe in Jesus Christ, it's because God said, you're going to believe. That's an amazing thing to understand that God knew us and God, you know, made us, and he made us for the purpose of believing and knowing him. And it means if God started something in our lives, he's going to keep it going. He's going to finish it, right? The last thing is what we talked about last time, and that is calling upon the name of the Lord. This is something that you learn as a Christian. You know, the worst thing that we can do as Christians is think that we're okay. You know, Paul, I quote this all the time, you know, the one who thinks he stands, take heed, lest you fall, right? Right, because you know, as soon as you think Christianity is something that you put away in your pocket, that you already have it, that you already saved, and you don't have to worry about that anymore, that means you're on that brink of not making it. Yeah, what you know, a Christian is someone who calls upon the Lord. How often? How many times? I call upon God every day. I start off my morning calling upon the name of the Lord. I lay down at night and I'm calling on the name of the Lord. When I'm with you all, I'm calling on the name of the Lord. I need God in my life. I need Jesus to help me constantly, to feed me that grace and that power and that love, to make me better and better and better, to lead me away from temptation and towards strength and holiness. I need God, so I call upon God constantly, right? That's what it means. So the gospel is heard, and we believe, and we call upon the name of the Lord. He says, just in the verses we did last week, everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So here's what Paul did. Again, he went through the gospel, and then he asked that question. He said, how then can they call upon the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? In other words, there's this process must begin with somebody sharing the good news. That's what the E is for. The E is for the church being the church. The E is for the church being about the Great Commission. The Great Commission is where Jesus told them, go and make disciples in all nations. Go out and tell. In Mark, it's go preach. In Luke, it's go preach. In Acts, it's go be my witnesses. But however you phrase it, it's the same thing. Go make known the name of Jesus. Go make known the truth of the gospel. Go make known that there is a power of salvation available to everyone who will call on the name of the Lord. Everyone who will confess and believe in him, right? That's our mission. How can they preach unless they are sent? One of the things that concerns me about modern American church is churches are trying to reinvent themselves. Churches are trying to make themselves attractive to non-believers. And again, the idea should be, okay, we're going to bring them in so we can share the gospel. But what seems to happen is they bring them in and they don't want to send them away, so they never share the gospel. They keep the gospel in the back, hidden behind a curtain somewhere. Oh, they'll see it maybe one day. No, 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 no. See, the Apostle Paul, who wrote these words, he went from town to town proclaiming the gospel, and he knew that the Jewish people tended to not like his message. He would go into the synagogue, and they would greet him, and he would begin to speak, and by the end of the day, they were ready to chase him out of town or stone him, or they'd get so angry that even after he left town, they would chase him to the next town and to the town after that because they couldn't stand the gospel he was preaching. And do you know what Paul would do? The next day, he would go into the next town, and he would go into the next synagogue, and he would stand up in front of them, and in the name of God, he would proclaim salvation in Jesus Christ. He didn't quit. He didn't shrink back. He didn't say, oh, they don't like it, so let me change the message. Because Paul knew that unless they heard the word of God, unless they heard the message of Christ, they couldn't call on a name they hadn't heard of, couldn't believe in a name they hadn't heard of. So he would go from town to town at great cost to proclaim the good news. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Paul quotes that from Isaiah. That's what we're supposed to be about. That's what, you know, so our church is an evangelical church. It's a church that says we want to make sure that anyone who comes through our doors hears about Jesus. We want to make sure that there is truth, that there is the word rightly divided, that there is power, that there is a life lived out in front of them, that there is a time to call upon the name of the Lord, to know who God is, so that you might be saved. That's what the E is for. That's what we are about, is being evangelical. Not because it's a modern thing to be, but because it's what God called us to be those who share the message of Christ. So I'd encourage you, you know, because I notice people come and go, and they go to different places. When you're searching out churches, if they've got an E in their name, right, make sure it's real. I'm serious. Make sure that what's really happening there is the gospel's being proclaimed, that Jesus is the center, not some movie star, you know, but Jesus is the center, right? Jesus should be the center of everything in the church. The message should be about Jesus. It shouldn't be about, you know, www.randybrown.com. You know, run from that. Run from that. Yeah, self-promotion is not what Jesus was about. He wasn't for us especially, you know. That's our mission, to make sure the message gets out. Make sure that you know, you test that. And then here's the other part for us individually. When we go out to spaces, as we're given opportunity, we should really be looking for opportunities to give a cause for the hope that we have. To just, you know, you might not be a preacher. You might not be able to tell somebody A to Z what it means to be a Christian. But you can bring them to a place. You can tell them about a place where they can get it, right? But we should be concerned about making sure that everybody we know gets to hear at some point the good news of Jesus Christ. Yeah? Yeah. Because it might save their life and save mine. I know it saved yours. Yeah? Yeah. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we ask in the name of Jesus that you will help us to indeed be your witnesses in this world. Be those who are not ashamed of the gospel. Paul began his great presentation of the gospel by saying, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and then to the Gentile. Let it be for us as well, Lord, that we are not ashamed of the gospel, but we want to stand in this world and proclaim the truth of all that you've done and all that you are, so that people might know there's a Savior, and his name is Jesus. Amen.